This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Still a red to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag.
Welcome to another episode of Drag Her.
Cock-a-doodle-roo, honey. This is the world's only RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast.
Yep, yep, yep. I'm Manu Agapian.
And I'm Nicole Byer. Boop, boop, boop. I like to tee-hee-hee.
It's really funny. Anytime, I think we did this last week, but I was like, anytime someone does a thing that I do, I'm like, yeah, I'm a full-blown cartoon character.
We love it. If you ever change, I will call the police.
I don't think I can. I think I'm stuck in my ways. I'm like a dog, an old dog. You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Nope.
I almost just said you can't teach a new dog old tricks, and I was like, that's not it. You had it right.
You had it right. And you can't keep a good bitch down,
you
as
sure
they say.
You sure can't.
And you're a good bitch.
Thank you. Speaking of good bitches, let's introduce our guest. She's one of my favorite people. I love her so much. She was a producer. Yes.
A producer on Drag Race.
A consulting producer on Drag Race.
And writer.
She's a writer. She's a stand-up comedian. Oh. She's one of the funniest people I know. Also, if you haven't listened to her episode of Why Won't You Date Me, it's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It's Kara Klein.
Hi! Oh my gosh! Hi! So great to be here,
Kara. We've talked about you in and out over the course of the past couple months about, you know, just being like, we know someone who kind of worked on the show.
I'm your secret source. I'm your deep throat.
You're our Us Weekly sources claim. And now we have you. Thank you so much for doing our pod.
Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful. I'm a fan of both of you. I love both of you so much. I'm so excited. Every time I see a post for this podcast go up on Instagram, I'm like, why am I not on that podcast? And then I demanded to be on it. And now here I am.
We need you. We need you. We have so many questions. The listeners are eager and hungry. I'm going to ask you some questions. I have to know, first of all, what was it like working on season 12, All Stars 5, and Celebrity Drag Race?
Well, I'll tell you this. Nicole knows this, but I basically went to work on that show when I was 5 weeks postpartum. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I had a very, very new baby at home, and my husband had left town when the baby was 2 weeks old because he couldn't handle fatherhood. he got a job out of town on a movie for 2 months. So like my first 6 weeks at Drag Race, 5 weeks at Drag Race, I was like a single mom of a new child because my husband was out of town. So it was pretty wild, like emotionally, but it was cool. You know, I think at the time I was really like, it was tough. It was like a tough summer, when I left, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to work on this show again. And then the more I get away from it, the more I'm like, all I remember are the good times. I don't know if you have any experiences like that. I don't remember as much of the stressful stuff as I do just like the fun. Like I really met some like great people. I met people that I talk to all the time, like, especially in this quarantine, I met some gems that I'm still in touch with. And obviously some of the most talented queens, and I love the show and I love drag. So it was a blast to work on it. it wasn't a dream the entire, like, you know, I don't think that many people get a job on like their favorite show like, this is everything I dreamed it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was just different, you know?
It is funny that people think you get your dream job and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I got this job and it was this person I was dating. It was like their favorite show. And it was a tough day because something happened in the beginning of the day that like delayed shooting. So like we were just sitting around not doing anything. All of the actors were kind of like annoyed. And then she was like, how was your day? And I was like, not great. And then she was like, but you were on my favorite show and blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but it's work. It's still work, yeah. Even though it's like your favorite thing.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like being absolutely. In Santa's workshop. It's like, I love Santa. I love his gifts. But I bet working for him is a motherfucker. Like, you don't want to be one of those elves. You really don't.
No, you sure don't want to be one of those elves.
No, they're just, he steps on their backs and says, work till 3 a.m., you little thing. Tell us, I want to know, Kara, tell us more about what did your job entail, you as a writer and producer? Like, talk to me.
Well, okay, so I started last May, like about a month before we started shooting, and I was involved in just like pitching challenge ideas and pitching, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, like essentially coming up with challenge ideas for a while. And some of my pitches did make the show, and unfortunately, I think they are ones that people did not like. including the challenge that Nicole judged.
The hotel challenge.
Hotel.
So my pitch on that was, I pitched that because at the time, the show Instant Hotel was very big. Like,
yes, Babe and Bondi,
the ultimate villains. Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody I knew was watching it, and I was like, this is such an interesting show, and they wanted something that was like the club challenge, right? They wanted something that was like Club 96. So I was like, oh, what if they designed their own Airbnb? You know, because sometimes you go to an Airbnb and they're like, this is the, well, like, you know, Babe and Bondi are like, this house is about margaritas. Mm-hmm. So like, they have like a drink that their house.
I'm going to have to take points off because you guys didn't drink the margaritas.
I got to watch this show. This sounds insane. God.
It's insane. You'll love it. It's
points
madness.
Off for not drinking margaritas to a man who does not drink alcohol. That show is so crazy.
Yes.
But then like, I was like, oh, you know, sometimes you go to like, I don't know, the Madonna Inn has like all these rooms that are thematic, or like I went to this bed and breakfast in like a cowboy town on my way to Lake Tahoe that was like, this is the Western room and this is the whatever. So I was like, these queens could come up with like something so creative and cool. And then the show kind of squeezed it to be more about like being a hotel room. So then it made a little bit less sense because like when you're in a hotel room, you don't really have like an experience I don't know. So I mean, I thought that the queens did a fun job with it, but I think they definitely at the beginning were like, the queens were definitely also like, what is this? And then Nicole came to judge it and was like,
you
what is
did
this?
It.
And I was like, did I pitch a bad idea?
I thought it was just like everyone had really two complex ideas. Like a cowboy room is it. Like a drag queen room is it. Like just one simple idea that has a lot of information in the idea. Like it could have been a fruit room where like your bed is a pickle. That's not a fruit.
You had one job, Nicole.
You know, whatever.
I hear you. I think they just didn't make enough jokes, but like that probably they just didn't make, they didn't, they weren't like thinking in that way of like, we need jokes and explorations of the idea.
Right. And like, well, I was listening to another drag podcast, not to cheat on you guys, but
how?
I know this is the only one, which is weird, but they were saying like, this should have been an easy challenge because drag queens spend like every day in hotels. Like they go to hotels all the time. So why not invent like your dream hotel room? I don't know. So,
What about Gay's Anatomy?
Wait, did you really?
I wrote.
Thank you. That was great.
Yeah. So, I wrote it on my own, and then the other writer and the producer came in and took what I wrote.
Honestly,
and, like, made some changes.
It's one of the best written challenges, I think.
It really is.
You know, thank you for saying that, because also I think there was, you know, that they record like essentially like a 30-minute skit that like what the country sees is like 7 minutes long. Because like,
of course,
it was a lot longer. Like it had all these like parts to it. And then what they chop up, you're always like, are people going to think this makes sense? But
And that's not really the point anyway.
It's mostly about the jokes and like the funny, you know. So I actually didn't come up with the idea for Grey's Anatomy. Like that was the team. And then I was just given that assignment because it was like my episode. And also like I do have more, I have a lot of sketch experience. So that was my contribution, I feel like, to the season.
Of course.
Not my only, but I would say a bigger one.
Good.
Then we write the scripts. I mean, we write a lot of like the stuff that Rue says. People always want to know like what we're writing. They're like, oh, so you're writing what the queens are saying? We're like never writing what the queens are saying. The queens are funny on their own. We write, you know, some of the stuff Rue says, really nothing that Ross or Michelle or Carson say. So like when you hear all their funny quips, like that's truly all them. They're very talented at puns.
That was shocking when I was there. I was like, oh, so am I going to get my little earpiece and they're going to give me jokes? And then I was like, nope, I'm on my own. You better say something.
No. Yeah. No, and like you're good at that. But some celebrities, I think, really clam up also because Michelle is so good at it and Carson and everybody is so good at it that they clam up. And then sometimes we'll give them a few like wild lines to record after that they'll throw in as like a VO. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. How could that hurt anyone? It's just
that
like,
you
know,
some
celebs are just like, I don't feel, they even say it. They're like, I can't compete with like RuPaul and like, you know, these people. So yeah. So, and then we wrote, like I would help the queens, me and my other writer, who's a producer on the show named John Polly, who's an awesome dude. You guys should have him on. And I would write the, we wouldn't write, but we would meet with the queens whenever they did something like one woman show or the stand-up comedy challenge that just happened. And we would just be like, go over your material with us. Like, show us what you're doing. Because you don't want them to go out ever and be like, have something that's crazy or totally going to bomb. So, like, we saw their, like, on season 12 when, like, Heidi did her, like, backyard barbecue character or whatever.
Yes.
You know, and
how did you guide that or try to guide that?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I love Heidi to death. She's truly one of my favorites the entire time. But we did both say to her, like, maybe it would help if you had some kind of like defining thing, the way kind of that Jackie did when Jackie did like, this is me, like take on the glasses, take off the glasses, like, you know, a little prop or something like that. And, you know, they take what we say, like, I told Cracker something and she was on something and she was like, oh my God, thank you so much for telling me that. That like changed my whole act. And I was like, thank you so much. I'm a miracle worker.
And
like,
was
I
don't that even for know what I said up?
To her. I don't even know what I said to her, but it obviously made an impression. And then like,
for this challenge or one of them?
I know, you know what it was for? It was for SheMZ.
Okay,
like there was something where I was kind of just reminding her about yes anding. I was like, don't shut stuff down. If someone gives you this, like go like build on it and say, you know, like, I know drag queens are used to fighting, but try to build on what each other is saying or whatever. And she was like, oh my God, thank you. I was so in my head about that. And you know, that's Cracker's middle name is in my head. But
because like debates work in improv, fights don't.
Right.
Like, because even in a debate, you're saying, yes, you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel a different way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. That's great advice.
So yeah. So we would just like, you know, and then like, I hate to say it, but I told Blair not to bring that notebook up on stage.
Fuck. You're kidding.
I don't even remember Juju bringing it up because I think Juju kind of abandoned her notebook at a certain point. She was kind of just talking and it was just in her hand. Whereas Blair was really relying on it. And I said, like, I was like, look, I do stand up. I don't know. I know you've never heard of me. I don't matter. But I was like, but what you're going to want to do is just make bullet points of all the jokes you want to make.
Uh-huh. And then, she wrote them out. And I was like, good Lord, no.
And just say like Ross estrogen joke, you know, like and like that, you know,
don't
like read it off the paper. And that's, I think, what stopped her up a lot, you know.
And it was sometimes like knock, knock. Who is
Yeah.
There.
I mean, they edited for sure. I don't know if you guys saw me. I'm in the audience of that.
Like, oh, I didn't see you.
When they do a wide shot of the whole panel, my like fat head is right in the bottom. I'm like right in front of Rue.
But I missed it. I saw Jen.
I missed it.
And then
they did a close up on Jen. They were where yes. Jen was like
they were like,
Jen was like reacting to a bomb joke. Yeah.
I have I want to get into that, but I have so many other questions before we dive all the way in that include what the hell happened with the India conspiracy? What do you know about the India versus Alexis thing that might be insider tea?
Also, should you talk about it? Because there's going to be, I assume, a reunion where things might be revealed.
There is a reunion thing, but I'll say something I heard on another podcast because honestly, I didn't even know about
this
at the time.
Which podcast?
Okay. I'm kidding. Do you want me to say? Okay, sorry.
I'm kidding.
Cut this. No. No. What I heard on another very reputable podcast was that India said on some other podcast that I don't even remember, India told somebody, oh, this was something that happened after we'd voted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When they came up to me in the what they call sort of like the jury box or like where the queens wait on the side while the lip sync assassin is debating challenging the top queen. Mm-hmm. That they said to her something like, so did you vote for Shay? And did you vote her out? And India was like, no, I didn't. And like, that's what happened. Like, that's what she says happened.
Right.
So it's like hardly a campaign, hardly a like, I mean, I get it was like a little bit of drama, but like, it sounds like maybe afterwards they were like, oh, so did you do it? But that maybe they had like through telepathy, tried to convince her to do this. But I don't think it was ever a.
Wait, Kara, I have a question that has to do with season 12.
Yes.
So,
yes.
For Snatch Game, do you guys go over, you don't go over the characters with the queens, do you?
No.
Got it. So you don't give them any pun, you don't even give like, hey, how about this? Try this or no?
No.
None of that. Okay, no. Interesting.
They go over them with Rue, like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess through the walkthrough.
So they do that walkthrough with Rue, but like, I think they say in advance, like, their options of who they're planning to bring, because otherwise we would have had more doubles over the years, don't you think?
Right.
Like, two people doing Britney or something like that, you know? And that, I feel like it's almost never happened. I mean, like, on the UK, I was just watching UK, and, like, there was, like, two of them that were going to be Margaret Thatcher, and then one of them just convinced the other one not to do it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I have a question, Kara. Do you know anything about how lip sync assassins are hired? Because
no.
You don't know.
Wait,
okay.
Why? Because why?
They just feel so underprepared every time. And it just feels like they're like local hires. They're like, if you get here, we'll pay you, is what it feels like from the outside. I didn't know if you knew anything.
I will say that things like move really fast at Drag Race. And I feel like, Nicole, you even know that because they've asked you to do a bunch of things and they're like, are you available like tomorrow? You know,
because like,
they love
what?
Nicole at Drag Race. Like they love her. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, you know, like I think that it is a lot of like, are you available in like a couple of days or like, you know, I think it was all about like, there were definitely other queens they were talking about in Lip Sync Assassin. And then it was like, oh, we got this person. We got that person, blah, blah, blah. But it seemed like, I don't know. It seemed pretty set at one point. Like, who did you think was ill-prepared?
I mean, I thought this week's the Kennedy and Cracker lip sync was pretty tough.
Yeah. I would say that was, yeah, I mean, Fancy has a lot of words. That is like a lot of fucking words. Kennedy's a dance lip sync queen, kind of.
Right.
Didn't really use her skills that well.
Yeah.
Like, is it the song I would have chosen? No.
No.
Like, were there other options? Yes. I don't know. Like, that's not my department. And but I know, like, I mean, I think that, you know, they try to pick songs, I think, also based on, like, what's the fan base going to be like? Oh, yes, they're finally doing a song by so-and-so. And, like, they definitely are always trying to think, I think, of, like, songs that are, like, gay canon, you know?
Of course.
And, like, you know, there were Dolly songs that were being batted around. There were, like, other songs. And it's, like, you know, it's hard to know, like, who's gonna fall into the week where they have to do Fancy. Like, you know?
And, right.
I did like Alyssa Edwards. I don't know, like, loved doing the Neutron dance. You know,
I don't think so. Is there anything that you are shocked they didn't show that you know happened from your time on season 12 in All Stars 5?
I mean, there's something that can it be something I tell you guys off air? I can't. There's something I can tell you, but like, I think you guys probably have a pretty good following, and like, I can't. I don't want to get in trouble. But yeah.
You can tell us later or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I will tell you, like, so stupid, but like, Blair in that stand-up episode made such a production over her shiver thing.
Wait, did she really?
Yes. Like, in her stand-up thing, she called it the shimmy shush. And she tried to get the whole audience. She got the whole audience to do it. And it was like, I think she was like trying to get like brand it, like get it to be her like thing. Uh-huh. And I think production, I guess, was like editing. They were like, nah, we don't want
this. I wonder why they were like, I mean, I get it, because honestly, seeing her do it at the end, I was like, that's a well-timed callback.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And now I see it was just a consistent over-branding.
The stand-up challenge was interesting to me because I was like, this felt like they think stand-up is only roasting.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. I think they were given that directive. I don't remember exactly per se, but I think they were like, listen, Sam's going to be there, Jane's going to be there, Michelle and Root, like, you can make jokes about all of them. Mm. And then I think they were like, okay, great. And that's, I think that wasn't like, because Jared, my husband, who's also a stand-up that Nicole knows, was like, why does everybody think stand-up is roasting? And I was like, it's not. I think that honestly they were, and I wish I could like remember back into my like newly postpartum brain, which was truly made out of like Play-Doh. Like, I wish I could remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure that they told them like, yeah, it's stand-up, it's roasty, you're at a it's the first day of Rue opening their club, so you can roast Rue a little bit, you know, it's like the grand opening of the Shady Shack or whatever. So I think they were given that directive a little bit, because otherwise I feel like Jujubee would have just been like, my cats, or like,
which
they would have talked,
I was
about
like
their,
give it to me.
Yeah, but also to come up with like a good 5-minute set in, you know, they have a couple days. Yep. Like, it's not, you know, and they don't come to Drag Race necessarily going, well, every year there's a stand-up challenge. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a whole 5-minute set about my life, because there isn't. Whereas you're with Snatch Game, like with Aiden, it's a little bit like, you've been watching the show for 15 years or 15 seasons, right? Like, you know, like, no one really does these like random characters. But yeah.
Well, speaking of roasts, you probably wrote jokes on the celebrity roast on Secret Celeb Drag Race, right?
Well, I will tell you this.
Because that was very funny. And I thought it was
really funny.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. So who was it? It was Dustin Milligan. Matt from American Ninja Warrior. And then Alex Newell, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we wrote them jokes and outsourced a few to a couple of, to a comedian who was more of a roast joke writer than I am. I don't really roast. Like, I wrote a few of the jokes. I did write some, but like, they wanted like overnight, just like a ton of roast jokes. So we did outsource to like one comedian, and we gave them a packet of jokes. We were like, if you guys want to just amongst yourselves, like divide up which ones of these you want, whatever. And I don't think Matt or Dustin used any, and I think Alex may have used like two. They really used their own. And Matt is a stand-up.
He's
and Dustin is just a huge fan of the show. So I think he was able to just kind of come up with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex, I think, may have used some, but also came up with his own as well. So it was, I was really impressed by them. But I'm sorry, you were asking about like other things too that we've written. Like, I helped write lyrics to like the Madonna challenge.
Another great challenge.
The Dragzilla challenge. Like, I actually love writing like fake music lyrics. I've written a lot of like music parody type of things. Uh-huh. So that kind of stuff I like love doing. So when they were like, that wasn't even, Madonna wasn't my episode, but they were like, will you write like a couple of these lyrics, I was like, yes, I would love to do that. So I wrote crystals and I wrote cherry pies. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, speaking of cherry pie, what was that like when you guys were like, as we're about to air, what was the 5-alarm situation of like, so much is going to change, all hands on deck? What was that like for you?
I mean, here's the thing. I was way out of production. Like, the show ends in August, and then they, you know, it's not on until, when did it air? March?
Yeah,
it started airing
like that
in March. So, like, that all blew up in March, and so it had been, like, 6 months. So I just wrote to my co-producer, my co-writer, the other writer, John, and was like, what is happening? He was like, I know, this is wild. And then, you know, it's kind of like, what I imagine happened is that they, I don't know, I don't have any good firsthand because I'm not there in the edit. I'm not there in the post procedure, but like, I would imagine that they were just like, get like editor out of the show. My personal opinion as a viewer was like, the pop up at the beginning was enough. Like, I think that they could have just left her in the show and like, I don't think make her, don't give her like a super shiny edit, but I thought cutting her out was a little bit, made it a little bit disjointed, but that could be my own personal thing because I saw the show as it was being taped and saw things Sherry was doing. And, you know, you guys saw Sherry does very well in the competition. So it's like,
I think she may have gotten a favorable edit because there was like two episodes where she could have gone home, but I think they were just like, we like her. We're putting her in the top four. And then I think it might've been too much work to give her like a villain edit or because then it's like, I think they would have gotten shit to be like, oh, so this shit came out. She still makes the top four. She's got a villain edit.
Yeah.
And then it was like real. It was like the day before it premiered or like the week.
It was
premiered.
A week before. Yeah.
So that's I think it was just like, well, just cut her out. Just that's.
Yeah.
Like,
I think they were just like cut it out instead of like, I would have maybe like cut out like a few more of her testimony. Cause I bet if like the way that it was really shot, she got a ton of testimonials because she's smart. Right. She's funny. Like I'm sure she had a lot of testimonials in, in the season and like they were gone. So, but so wild. So I'm so honored to have worked on one of the only seasons to ever have had a disqualified queen.
Oh my God.
And a digital, reunion in Zoom and finale. It's almost like I cursed the season.
I just want to know, was it distracting working with an actual trash bag of steaming shit? You know what I mean? Like, was that
Sherry?
Distracting? Yes, yes.
I know. I mean, I think what Sherry did is, like, awful, awful, but, like, no signs. No signs. Like, nice person, like, easy to work with, like, worked with her on her comedy stuff, and she was always like, okay, cool, yeah, great idea, like, here's my plan. Like, you know, just no signs that she was... on the side catfishing people in a really like abusive
way. It's so wild to me. I can't fathom catfishing someone, gaining notoriety, and then being like, they'll be quiet about this, right?
Like,
how crazy are you?
So wild to me.
So wild.
If I catfish someone and then wanted to gain notoriety, I think I would talk to them and be like, hey, so like, I know what happened. Can I pay you? I don't know. Or I guess if I catfish somebody, I just wouldn't go on a reality show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but true criminals never think they'll get caught.
Right. Fair. And I think like also like it's like, and it almost worked if it wasn't for you pesky kids. Like I feel like it almost worked when she said, I only learned how to love myself at Drag Race and stuff. And then people were like, girl, you were doing this in December. The show wrapped 4 months ago. Like you were still doing it when you got home from Drag Race. That's the thing. It's like, you just got home from Drag Race.
I didn't realize that.
That's what people were saying on the internet. They were like, you got home from Drag Race where you know you go far. You do well.
Yes.
Right.
And
you're crazy.
Continue to get on the internet and do this shit. Like, that's compulsive. Like, I mean, that's like, I wish her a speedy, like, not speedy, but a healthy recovery and, like, whatever it is that was her mental health journey there. Because
that is like, this woman who was on Catfish twice and then My 600-pound Life and she was saying to Dr. Now, she was like, I'm addicted to catfishing people. And she like kept talking about it in a way. And then the way she talked to Dr. Now, I was like, oh, I think you're a sociopath. I think something is off about you because she was not genuine and smiled every time she spoke. And I was like, this is disarming and creepy. So maybe Sherry is like this woman from two episodes of Catfish and My 600-pound Life.
If you like her.
There wasn't even like a rumor on the set. The big thing people said about Sherry was like no one could believe she was 27 because she just like acts and does all these characters like she's just like a 50-year-old Broadway person. But like, I mean, no one was like,
well,
I don't know.
When you're a sea witch who steals people's voices and their youth, you can actually transform very easily. I have one more question before we go to break. What other challenges are you blown away they didn't use? Like, what other great ideas you were like, oh my God, I can't believe that one didn't make it?
Oh my gosh. Well, I will say, I don't know how much of those I can give away because they do have like a kind of a running list that they might use in the future. But I will say, like, I pitched like pretty hard to do, like, my husband is a huge Dungeons and Dragons person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he also is into like horror movie. He's just kind of like on the nerdy side of stuff. And I went to DragCon. I've gone to DragCon twice. And there's a ton of that stuff at DragCon. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of horror. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like just like nerdy kind of stuff. I feel like there's a big cross section of like the fandom that would be into like a Dungeons and Drag Queens thing. And I like was really pitching that. I was like, they have to create their own character. They have to do something. Like, I didn't know how to like exactly, but that was, that made the list, but never kind of obviously materialized into the show. But that was one I pitched. What else did I pitch?
That sounds good. That sounds great.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember
Dungeons
what
and
else
Drag Queens. It writes itself.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what else did I pitch 15 months ago? Let's see. I don't know. I mean,
we'll just have to watch. We'll just have to watch
you
next
just
season.
Just watch and see what these new, what these. In but
2023.
You know, yeah. I'm always amazed. Like, there were definitely some challenges, not mains, but like I would say some minis kind of came together like a little bit last minute, and they always like surprise me because the queens rise to any occasion. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I would be like, this mini sounds insane, and then would like be funny and great, you know?
My favorite mini challenge, I think, in the history of the show was season 12, the kitty litter challenge, because it was a full-blown fever dream and there was no real direction and it was just them rolling around in cat suits. I don't think I've laughed harder.
Yeah. It was so funny. We were actually dying in the control room when it was being taped. I was like, this is so hilarious.
So it's also so crazy because it's like, what's the criteria? Be a cat.
Yeah.
Be funny.
Yeah.
Be
and
good
some people
at the
were like,
product.
Some people were like, well, my cat doesn't give a shit, so I'm just gonna be really standoffish. And some people were like, my cat's gonna fuck you. Like, some of the cats were like so sexy. Like,
also, my favorite thing is when I was on the show, so one of the producers, Theron, was like, here, come, let's watch the queens vote. So me and the man I live with got to watch the queens vote through the two-way mirror. And I think the best part about it was you hear them talk, like the camera operators talk through their walkies. And a lot of the times it's like, whoa, no, I can't believe they voted for Mariah. Mariah doesn't deserve to go home right now. And it's like these like really burly masculine men who are like fully invested and fully involved in these queens, and they love them. And
are you kidding me? After she did that sissyography?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, I think more straight men could learn a little bit from watching Drag Race. Not like Drag Race is the end all be all, but I'm like, it's a competition show, much like any other one you watch. And then maybe you'll be endeared to these people who are fully like live different lives than you. And then that enriches your life to go out into the world and make different kinds of friends. But it was truly like all of,
I love that.
Everybody who works on that show is so nice and so kind.
No, truly. I really loved everybody I worked with
work. Well, we're gonna dig into the episode, but first we have to take a break. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Come on, y'all. We've all been there. We want to spend a little bit of extra dough on a big night out or a last minute gift for like your boo. Sometimes money just can be, dare I say, complicated. Well, worry not, because Earnin helps you get your money today as opposed to later. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, wake up, because Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. You can get up to $100 per day or $750 per pay period. Earnin is used by over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability. So why don't you go ahead and download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Get some extra dough. Have a little fun. And don't wait for your employer to give you your money, honey.
Earnin is subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Bring back my break, which is a fun thing that doesn't make no sense. So we're getting into this episode. You know, Alexis Mateo, she left. I'm devastated.
Alexis is gone. How was she on set? Just out of curiosity, Kara.
Just great. Like, well, here's the thing. Like, Alexis is just, like, so confident in what she's doing. Like, there are other queens where you can kind of just, like, feel the insecurity, like, emanating from them, even though they're so talented and they are, they do an amazing job. Like, it kind of kicks in when they get on stage. Like, Alexis off stage is also like, I got it. Like, you'd go around and be like, do you want to go over your thing for this? And she'd be like, no, I know what I'm doing. Like, I got it. Like, she's just very, like, yeah. I love Alexis. And, I mean, I have to say, like, the part of the show that I work on, which is, like, the writing part and, like, and that is, like, a little bit different from the verite part of it, like, where the queens are just, like, talking to each other and, like, all the, like, sort of quote-unquote drama that happens between them. So, like, we would get a story sheet at the end of the day that was like, well, Cracker and Blair kind of bumped heads. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't know it until I read it on that sheet, because story I'm not sheet. Watching them all day while they're in there in the workroom just talking to each other. I'm not. That's on a monitor in front of me, but it's on mute. So I'm not like watching. So that's why for me, watching the show is still really fun, because I haven't seen it put together. Like, even though I've seen the challenges and I know who wins, I know who goes home or whatever, I haven't seen all the like cute, funny confessionals and all like this, you know, that stuff is.
And
like,
you don't really work with story producers. Story producers more so do the thing where they're like, let's cultivate this fight.
Yeah, and they do the interviews and stuff. And like, there were a couple story producers that I got along with really well and really loved, like, and was friends with. But like, I wouldn't say we interacted day to day, because they're doing all the real stuff and I'm doing all the scripted sort of
Got it. Well, I will say this episode in general to me was just screamed of editing. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like, it's that classic thing where we're towards the end of the season and we have to spend a lot of time in the episode just being like, that's good and that's bad. And she did good, but she did bad. Like, so much of the episode was that.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, I was in the audience and I remember Juju doing well and Cracker really actually killing it and Blair struggling and Shay struggling.
Okay.
I mean, they gave Shay a really good edit with that. But I feel like I remember Shay having some down moments that they got rid of, you know? Like, that's just the tea right there, you know?
That's
like,
just, I mean, fucking the episode, tea, honey.
Shay is a dream person and I want nothing better than the best for Shay. But I'm just saying, like, she even said, this isn't my forte. Like, and it, you know, she absolutely had some fun jokes like that really landed, but I think they definitely gave her like a little bit of a sweeter edit, and they focused in on some of Jujubee's like kind of initial bombs that like then she built up to having a good, because I thought Jujubee did a good job, like she's just so funny, you know.
So they did a good job just keeping like like keeping the boat floating in all over the place. So you could be like, mm-hmm. is it good? Is it bad? All of this. How do you feel every emotion?
Yeah.
It was taxing. Cause like they did their job, but I was just like, I am so exhausted from just, I'm drained. What's going to happen in this episode? I know that they're just doing their job of like literally walking me into the maze from The Shining, mm-hmm. you know, and just like, find your way out. And you're like, of course I can't find my way out. You guys have given me 12 different possibilities.
When Cracker was in charge of the order, uh-huh. I was like, why didn't you close? I know that she wanted Shay to go after because Shay is her biggest competition. But I was like, yeah, but if you had killed closing, nobody would have remembered anybody before you. Because, right. like, you murder him, right?
That's true. But I think also her thing is, like, who knows how long everyone's going by the end? Are they going to be, like, tired of it? Like, I don't know. Maybe that was, like, her feeling.
I thought her reasoning was genius. Jared actually said
when we were watching it together, he goes, Cracker's smart. I mean, third is the best. If you're doing a show of four comics, like, third is probably the best.
You know like, what? You're right. Because it's people are tuckered out. They're like, who cares? And if everyone's doing the same amount of time, it's like, oh, I didn't come to see a headliner. I just came to see a good show.
Exactly.
Jared's smart.
This was very Shangela season three, when Shangela also over explained like where she put everyone in the stand up lineup. Mm-hmm. I do agree. She did a genius job of telling them of putting why everyone. Would you do that, though? Just hypothetically, would you say out loud to them, this is what I'm doing?
It's this far in the competition. I don't want anyone to go, is she trying to fuck me over? It's like, yeah. I am. Here's why I'm doing it.
And also with four people, like how many combinations are there? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to like, who is it? Like Alaska's like, I always put myself first or something like that. Or one of them is like, and it's like somebody who's really good and like always goes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, the thing is with this kind of competition too, it's like, it's very apparent who does this in their live performing.
Yes.
Like Cracker does this in her live performing and was very... Like, even though they tried to do this, like, thing where she was struggling when she talked to Ross and Jane, like, mm-hmm. she clearly, like, knew she had, like, stuff to do that like, were good jokes. And then, like, I don't know. I've never seen Blair perform. Have either of you guys ever seen Blair perform?
Like,
I don't know what. I think Blair is gorgeous. Like, her face is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what her... performance style. I know she sings live or she does actually sing.
She has amazing pop songs and
She has these great pop songs and stuff like so. Like I mean, I would never be going to her show expecting the same thing I'd be expecting from like a Trixie show or like shows where these comics I consider Trixie like a comic. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
So it's just kind of interesting that it ends up being with All Stars, for example, more. Because they've had so much performance experience. Like, it is weighted towards the people that do this kind of thing. But then, you know, a dress challenge is more weighted to someone who, like, actually sews and knows how to, you know, do that kind of stuff. But
when you're on set, how much is it hard for you to not get invested in who you want to win and go home? Like, what
I mean,
is that like?
So, like, I mean, I have a zero say or anything. Like, the only thing I ever did was I would go, I spent the whole summer in like a trailer with like 10 people, which was like, you know, the executive producers and like VH1 executives and, you know, whatever. And then I would always go into the studio to watch the lip sync. I always just wanted to watch the lip sync live. So then sometimes I would come in and they'd go, who do you think won? And I'd go, I think it... By the vibe in the room, it felt like it was X versus Y or whatever. And then they didn't always even like listen to what I said, you know, but I had like zero, you know, so, but definitely there were times where I was like, no,
then I need to know.
Heidi, no, you know, but like we all kind of, you know.
Was Cracker and Morgan a double Shantae in person or what?
I have to tell you. I don't know if this is illegal. I don't know why anyone would get mad at me for any of this stuff. It's like shot
it's
and done.
It's all just alleged hearsay.
Cracker and Morgan's lip sync, the music cut out halfway through it.
No, dang.
And they had to start over.
Fuck.
So I don't know which parts of it they're using from that happening, but I was like, it was, everybody was really into it because they were both like doing great. And then like the music cut out and then they were like, ugh. And so then there was like a whole reset. Like it didn't take a long time, but you know, they like reset to start it again. And then they started again. So I think that like, you know, It was pretty tight with them. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They both were like really turning it. I don't know.
Okay. Work. I love
but that,
that
is like a little, that is a little insider thing that happened. So I think maybe they were like, oh, she had to overcome like losing her momentum and starting again.
Maybe.
And so did Morgan. So I don't know.
I mean, I think that would be so hard because like stand up is a different thing. If the lights go out or whatever, it's like, oh, you just reset. You have the same jokes.
You know how
you're going to tell them. But like a dance, if you're not doing choreography, it's like, well, what the fuck was I doing?
Right.
I
it's like you just did your thing? Death drop and now you can do it again. Like,
You can use the moment in comedy, but in dancing, you can't really use that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess. Yeah. Okay, I guess let's talk about this rehearsal moment with Jane and Ross and talking to people. And when this is happening, are Jane and Ross told to just help them or help cultivate any drama with them or anything like that?
I'm trying to think. I spoke to all of them right before I think they went out for their Ross Jane thing and was kind of like helping them. I would just kind of be like, that one's strong. You should put the punchline. Put the punchline like that. Like, you know, some of them are like putting the punchline at the beginning and like, you know, or I, and then they all went out there and I feel like read a bunch of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Off of their sheets. So like, I don't think that Ross and Jane are given any kind of directive to stir up drama.
They
but I think that
mostly
like,
really helpful.
Yeah, and Jane is like, oh my god, just like
I love
she
Jane.
Was the most dream
she
of a person.
Amazing.
Like, I just like I put a picture of us on my Instagram because I literally met so many famous people on that show, and she's the only person I was like, would you mind if we got a picture? But we also actually did kind of work together. Like I did speak to her a lot, so she was like, oh my god, of course, and like. There's an outtake photo where she just like my head is like pressed against her head and I'm like, are we best friends? But
I love it.
She's just like a sweet, sweet person and was just kind of like, what do you want me to do? Like, what should I do? She's like, I don't actually do stand up. And I think but she knows so much about comedy.
She knows what a joke is. She knows how to deliver
that it wasn't
a joke.
Even like a
she
problem
can deliver
at all.
Anything.
And I think it's like any drama is like Ross knows that Cracker's in her head. You know what I mean? Like Ross kind of knows who's what and
exactly.
like can help them figure that out. So I don't think that that's designed to stir up drama, but probably does anyway, you know.
I thought they gave amazing advice, except in one instance when they told Shay, be what Whoopi Goldberg is. That was the only time I was like, what is this advice? What is this advice?
But I think the advice he was trying to give was like, just talk to the crowd.
Yes.
Just talk. Like, don't be Whoopi Goldberg, but just talk to the crowd a little bit more and don't just be like... Like, that's why I think Shay, like, she had this whole story about getting robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she had an actual story about it. And she was like, I'm not just talking about season 9, but they cut that. They cut, like, the rest of the story off.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it felt abrupt.
Yeah, I think that she had an actual little story about getting robbed and so with, like, little jokes in it. And so it was like, yeah, just tell that story to them like you're telling your pal about how this time you got robbed or whatever, you know? Like... And I think that Blair could have used that kind of advice as well, because she just didn't seem like she was just kind of like, da 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 da, and like hold and then like pause for laughter and like, you know, wasn't, you know, not everyone's stand up is conversational, but I think if you're like an amateur stand up, basically, which they all are doing 5 minutes that you've come up with in the past like day, you should just be conversational.
Yes.
Totally.
And like, you know.
But it's such a tall order.
Yeah.
Well, I think a taller order is coming up with a setup, a punch, and a button. Like, that's a lot. If you just tell a story, but, like, you can add jokes to the story, you're in so much better shape.
Yeah.
Smart. That's smart.
Then trying to just become, like, you know, Patton Oswalt overnight or something.
Right.
It's like, just, you know, just, like, you guys are drag queens. Like, talk the way you talk to, like, the drunk bachelorette parties at your shows. Just, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think Juju was a little bit trying to do that. Like, I know those shoulders aren't real, sir. Like, she was trying to do some of that. So
that made me laugh. I was like, that's so funny to say your shoulders aren't real.
Yeah, like, Juju, I think, was
that
trying
was
to...
really funny. Like, obviously, she could have, like, punched it harder or clarified. But I've been there where you're like, I went out on a limb and then it, like, got weird in a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's we've all been there, I think... we've all been there where you're like, I forgot that I'm supposed to have fun doing this. And I think that was obviously Blair's major offense, was she forgot to have fun in the moment, which mm-hmm. is such a bummer.
I think she was having fun. I just don't think the audience was having fun, which is a type of show I've seen. It's like, I've seen people bomb, but like they look like they're having a great time. And I'm like, the confidence you have is outstanding.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt to me like when you're smiling at a murderer, you know, you're like, if I smile, maybe he won't stab me. So it felt like a pasted on smile.
Yeah. I mean, Blair has not per se ever made me laugh, mm-hmm. like even in a testimonial. You know, it's just not for, like, every queen's just not funny.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and that's not fair to expect. Like, obviously, we're saying you can't be everything. Like, you can't do it all.
Well, yeah, like, but like that's what the show does expect.
Yes.
Like that you, I know. For at least this, you know, you have to kind of be everything. And like, you know.
Right. I think about how much we love Alyssa Edwards and she can't do an acting challenge.
But like, she can. She's so like, I'm
she
biased.
Can
I just
her
think
way.
She's so funny.
We
yeah,
love her
gonna
so
much. It's
not
going to be the way that like you envisioned it, but it will be done and it will be a choice.
But right. apparently she can't come louder. Like on season 5, they were like, just come bigger. She's like, okay. She like couldn't do. And in the fucking All-Stars 2, she couldn't get the lines down.
Still made me laugh.
I love her.
Let's talk about this runway. So the runway was, what, freak him out? It was just like
freak out. Yeah.
Jujubee comes down first in this amazing outfit by this designer called Pissy Pussy.
Ooh.
If you don't follow them on Instagram, you should. They make these insane things with like head covering. What you see on the runway is like kind of what they do. And it's fun, it's loud, it's Club Kitty. I loved it.
It was like Vivacious meets Pokemon Go. I loved it. I mean, her seven inch joke got me. She's funny all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. I did want some hair, baby hairs coming out of the side of her mask.
Nah, I didn't need it. I loved it. I loved it from top to bottom.
I just saw some boyness, and I've been the most guilty of having a kitchen sink issue, but I was just like, if you added a little something there, I would have gagged even harder.
Fair. Kara, did you like it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the runways are always like, I mean, amazing to me, like what they come with and put together.
Yeah.
Did you like Blair's? Blair had this face mask-ish
polka dot
thingy.
Polka
was it a mask or was it painted on?
It was a mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
A mask that was below her nose, like, so she was on par for the course of Corona.
Yeah.
Where people are not wearing their masks correctly. She looks like a fun Dalmatian. I like it. It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. Hers wasn't my favorite. I don't think.
It wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
It was like Kat Von D meets Heffalumps and Woozles and like...
I don't know what any of those words were.
Oh, I know Heffalumps and Woozles. It's a Dumbo joke, right?
Winnie the Pooh. Same shit. But yeah, I was not super gagged. I was like, the bodysuit feels too easy. I love all the pieces, but I just thought, I don't know. I just thought it was like a really, really good, really, really good, not unbelievably great.
But she did look like a little Dalmatian, and like she, like Blair does this thing the whole season. I don't know if I don't think she's wearing Invisalign, but I think she may have gotten new teeth.
Okay.
And I know your audience can't see me right now, but like you guys can see me. She's doing this like thing.
Yes,
the
she
whole
does like
season.
Like clean her teeth with her tongue a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, it's like she's cleaning her teeth with her tongue, but keeping her mouth closed. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you can see her doing it like, in on top, and you just like see her doing it all the time.
Wait,
and like
you're
just,
right.
When she was like waiting for them to announce the name, I just saw her kind of like, it was like she wanted to do it and her mouth was just like trembling and
could
her little tabby dog nose was like trembling.
Oh no.
Yeah, she did look like a little puppy that we were sending back to the pound when she got eliminated. But you know, I think Blair went farther than I kind of thought she was going to.
Yeah. I think she did really well.
Yeah.
And if I'm being really mean, not mean, but as a strategist, I think, go with me here. It's smart to keep her because she is such a kind-hearted, Amish child from 1912 that you know she's not going to pull a crazy lipstick late in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
You know she's going to play fair the whole way, which is why it is smart to keep her in this game.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to life's not fair.
Yes. Right. Then we have Cracker coming down the runway. I don't get this reference. Who is this? Who's him?
Cracker?
Who's the mask? Is that supposed to be somebody?
That's Miss Cracker. Oh, I mean, it's like a reference to like steampunk viral doctors. Okay. It's weird. It's like old timey doctors used to wear this like mask to like prevent themselves from viral infection and shit.
Oh,
it's
interesting.
Spooky.
I didn't know that.
It's
well, I liked everything underneath of it. It looked very Cher to me.
It was great. Cute. I thought that the outfit was good. It was exactly what she said. I mean, it was very steampunk and reminded me of like, Jared, what were you saying? Edgar Allan Poe-ish, the Cracker outfit kind of with the raven face or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It was a plague mask. He knows all this stuff.
And then she takes it off and she becomes the ring girl at the club, which I also loved.
I loved it. I liked the white eye. It was fun.
Yeah. I think once she took it off, it was freaky. It was definitely different. Like all the other girls had sort of a different thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like I could have seen Shay, Blair, and Juju all at the same rave together.
Yes.
And like, I don't think Cracker would have been there. If she was, it would have been like, weird.
Bitch, what
like,
are you doing?
Yeah.
What's funny is Shay should have worn her bug outfit. The bug look.
Oh, that could have been her freak out.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Then they would have had to have loved it, which they should have loved it already because it was sickening. But that was also so crazy that they were like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, I liked her look too. But yeah, for Shay, I was like expecting more, but it was still unbelievable. Still such a gag.
Yeah, I liked Shay's. They said it didn't go further, like far enough.
So did
being
I.
Being freaky, but I was like, I like this. You would look twice at the person wearing this on the street.
I thought it looked just as freaky as Blair's and just as freaky as Juju's. That's the thing.
I agree. Like,
It wasn't.
I like the mullet. Yeah. I like the harness.
I think
I like
Juju,
the shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Juju was my favorite runway wise, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They're deliberating. They're talking about who to vote for. Mm-hmm. It seems painful and shitty. And there's a weird
poopery placement.
But it's
like, in what world is somebody who's not won a single challenge making it to the top three? I just like.
Yeah.
I kind of at the end of that episode was like, what's the charade? Like,
yes.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah, and then when Blair was like, well, I don't know if we should be, you know, counting who won. And I think we should just like, who's nice. And I was like, girl. Like,
the person at the end is always like, what do we really need to do report cards? Do we really need to do? It's like, okay.
That was some White House worthy reporting.
There's a baby.
There's a cute baby here.
I'm sorry if you guys hear a small child's voice. Maybe this is the first baby to ever be on the Drag Her podcast.
Oh, it would be.
Can you say baby?
What look did you gag for, Rosie?
Rosie.
I show her Drag Race all the time because I'm always like, oh, she'll like the bright colors and stuff. And
it's good for kids.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just
my husband is my childcare and I just lost him about 5 minutes ago. So I can stay on. You just might hear her a little bit.
No worries. We're reaching the end right about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the lip sync. Cracker's wearing a hideous tablecloth. Kennedy looks amazing.
Kennedy looks so good.
Oh, Kennedy. Yeah. Sickening.
I love Kennedy.
I love her. And I'm just so sad we didn't get to see her at her best.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, imagine if you had like given her a Rihanna or something. Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Giving her cookies and she's getting too crazed. Hold on. Sorry.
I am so happy to have the only baby on the world's only RuPaul's Drag Race
The
podcast.
Only baby in the world.
When she applies to college, I'm going to be like, put this on the application. First
what
baby to
it?
Appear on a drag podcast.
When you're watching this lip sync, were you like, we got some editing to do?
Like, I was in the room when they did it, and I thought that it was more entertaining than almost it was on television for some reason. But it's not like they cut out anything good. Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard because Fancy has a buildup, you know? It's like a story song, and, like, it just builds up, and then it's like, there's your last chance. Like, when it gets to that, you're like, okay, cool. Now you could do some fun twirls or whatever, but it just takes a little bit to get there.
What do you think Rue meant when she said, those were a lot of words?
There's a lot of words in the
song.
Those
were a lot of words. I think Rue was like,
it's not an easy song.
You could tell that they were both kind of like you know. Because, like, I don't know, some other songs, like Where Have You Been, the Rihanna one, it was like, there's kind of just
six words.
A few words. Like, the chorus repeats a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not.
Right.
It's not
that's
that.
True.
You know.
That's true. You got to just figure out what to do during the eight choruses of thumping techno, which is hard.
Well, yeah, I would say some lip syncs are word heavy and some are like you got to be stunt heavy. And this one was definitely, I think Rue was just calling it like she saw it.
I do wish they just rolled over the 20K to the grand prize. I've been saying this online and I think that would have been fun gaggery.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Cracker wins $20,000 for one of the weirdest lip syncs in history, I believe. That's just so crazy. She won the same amount that Bibi Zahara Benet won.
Won for a whole season?
For winning,
For not knowing the words to Fancy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you guys have, do you guys have predictions or favorites heading into the finale?
Yes.
I mean,
you know, I don't know who wins. Obviously, they record three and I don't know.
Of course.
I'm really pulling for Alexis Mateo to come back in the competition and to take it.
Now, that's
all.
A gag. She just Zoom bombs that. She Zoom bombs the finale.
I mean, is the phone call just the girls coming back or is there something crazier happening?
I gotta be honest with you. When I was watching Rue do the phone call thing, I was like, what is this? I forgot. Uh-huh. Like, I forgot what that was. I will say, like, they did a thing throughout the season that I think they cut, which was Rue calling the assassin. And there was a gag where every single time the phone was different. Like, Nicole, I think they probably did it on your episode too. Like, you know, she'd have like a fancy phone. She'd have like an old timey cell phone. Yes. Like, you know, there are all kinds of gags and stuff that like don't actually make it on. And,
of course.
Like I played Dirty Charades for a solid 20 minutes and they only left two in.
Yeah. So
I love it. I love it. I want Shay to win. I want Shay to win so bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty heavily on Team Shay. Though, I mean, I love Jujubee.
Me too.
Yes, I think she's Jujubee and Shay, but we need one winner this season. The two winner thing. Sure.
I think it
why
would be
not,
a little bit. I think it would not be as with. How many were there in All Stars 4? Were there more? Because there were more episodes in 4.
There was
They had all the queens come back for like a redemption. So,
So they had more. But the redemption, we got 7 girls back in there. But we had a classic top 4 that Rue whittled down to a top 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a top 3. I don't think they're going to send one person home as the loser and two people win. I think one person's going to win.
I agree. Would be insane to do. It'd be like, squeeze? That's rude.
Yeah. That would be rude. But it's a shame because I think like a lot of people are saying online, this would be a fun year for a double crowning. Arguably more fun than last year. But I agree. We can't. We have to quit double crowning. We have to. We have to. Untucked is pretty business as usual. We're getting a lot of Juju and Shay talking to each other, which I love. And we see that everyone votes for Blair, except Blair votes for Jujubee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the long and short of it. And Blair goes home.
Yeah.
Blair, yes.
Blair Scablair, I do.
Blair St. Clair, I do declare. Whenever she says she's like a musical theater queen, and I'm waiting to see it.
I don't think people like her saying that.
Because
people
I just
say, like, a lot of my meme accounts that I come up in my Explore page, my entire Explore page is just drag accounts. Hey. My entire Explore page is drag accounts, and they are all like, they're all saying stuff like, don't call yourself a theater queen if you like show tunes. Like, that's not the same thing.
I'm like, what is the theater queen about you? Like, there was no show tunes in her talent show. Right. I just, like, the song she sang wasn't show tune. I was just like, I don't know, whatever. But maybe she is. I haven't been to her show, so I shouldn't talk shit.
Right. I just got tickets for the drag drive-in show on July 31st in LA.
I'm going.
Yes.
You're going?
I am going too.
Oh my God, you guys, let's try to park near each other and distance tailgate.
Yes. We have to. I'll tell you something when we stop recording.
Okay.
I might not make it, but hopefully I will.
Oh man. I love it. This has been such a gag.
Kara, thank you so much.
You guys, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for allowing me to have my child on for the last 10 minutes.
No, Rosie's the perfect. Best. Nobody could see what I was doing, but Rosie was sitting in Kara's lap and I was just crossing my eyes and she was smiling.
She was having a ball. She was like,
I look like a cartoon. So she was like, this cartoon is doing something for me.
Yeah,
you won a baby Oscar for the performance of those faces, Nicole. They were iconic baby faces.
I love babies.
I was going to say available for babysitting, but no, she's not.
I mean, if I get a COVID test, can I have her?
Oh God, I would love to just do a little arrangement where I drop her off. You teach her to swim.
I would love it. I would love it. I would put her in big, beautiful floaties and I would watch her. I would make sure she was safe. Oh, I love babies.
Kara, before we let you go, is there any tea you need to spill we didn't let you spill?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I don't know. I'm like,
you don't have
I
don't, to.
I'm not, I just, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to get in trouble for. I don't
we
even
don't
work
want you
there
troubled.
Right now.
No.
I don't even know. Yeah, I think it's like, I don't think I, half of what I, most of what I said is like my opinion. I don't even think I have that much.
I don't think
like,
you said anything.
You've said as much as I've said about being
the thing
episode.
Is like, is there tea? Is there secrets to the show anymore? People are so... like the lip sync assassin thing was online like the day after we did it for the first time.
Wow.
Like people are so, I don't understand why anyone doesn't want to be surprised on this show anymore. Like, but nobody does, I guess, because everything is out there. Like, so I guess it's like, I know a couple of things, but it feels like you guys know as much as me, especially Nicole, you haven't been on the set. You like know a lot of how it goes down, you know? Like the thing I tell people that surprises them the most is that the queens like walk twice, once with music and once without. They're like, what? And that like, you know, the comments and like, you know, that the people say like, oh, are those written or who writes those and blah, blah, blah. So, you know.
Work.
Yeah.
I love it. The only thing I need to say that I didn't get to say is I don't know if I can hear one more extended segment about Shea Coulee's trauma from being in the top four.
I think she talks about it a lot because I think I said this last week, but like people do not realize that the one thing they know you from on television is the one thing they're going to say to you. And it happens over and over and over again. So like I open my shows by allowing audiences to yell "nailed it" at me.
Oh, that's
say,
so funny. That's
I
so smart.
I didn't understand the word "triggered" until I got that job because it's people say it behind me and I'm like, oh God, it's a lot. And I fully get it.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, and like Shay actually said, I don't even know if this came out in the show, but Shay said that people would go to her meet and greets with rose petals underneath their hats.
That's so stupid.
And like, and I'm like, why would you do that? Like,
because
that just,
people are not original. People don't. Everyone's doing a first draft in life.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're the wittiest fucking person.
I guess I'm also just kind of like, drag seems like so much like the vibe of the show. I'm on like the show's Reddit all the time and stuff too. And like people are mostly like so positive and so nice. And it's just like about acceptance and you're awesome at this and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like you see the like racist stuff. People write Mayhem, like Mayhem posts these screenshots and you're like, get out of this fandom. Mm-hmm. You're in the wrong place. Like if any, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense that you would get any, like this show to me is like all about joy. And I don't understand why anybody would be like, I take it so seriously that I'm calling you a racial slur. Like what?
Yeah. It's
like,
so
it just doesn't even
track.
Like, not that there's any reason that you should call someone a racial slur,
exactly,
but like to reach out and insult somebody or like, You could say who your favorite queens are. Look, some of the queens I find annoying, but like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to reach out to them and message exactly. them and be like, here's what you do that annoys me. Like, I just don't. And like, to me, yeah, like showing up and just reliving or tormenting someone with like mm-hmm. the way that they lost a reality show is like,
you've got to
come up with something better for your life.
Agreed. It's not personal. It's drag.
Kara, do you have anything that you want to promote? Because we've come to the end.
Oh my yes. God, you guys. Well, I am. I'm going on the road.
I was like, Kara. We're Kara. Literally on a group text thread where we're shaming
where we shit out people go on the road right now. No, listen, I'm not leaving my house, but I have a stand-up album called Undefeated that's on iTunes. Please buy it. I have a child to support. I love my album. I'm very proud of it. And I'm Kara Klank on all the social media stuff and Twitter and Instagram and everything. And when stand-up comes back, I hope that I'll be performing again.
Yes, when stand-up comes back, if you live in LA, go see Kara. She's so funny.
Thank you guys so much.
Yes. Mano, yes, what do you want to promote?
We are just so pleased and gagged. You're so funny.
Thank you guys. I'm so happy to talk to you about drag forever.
Yes. I just want to promote, just follow me at Mano Agapian on the social medias. Listen to my trash related podcast on Patreon with Betsy Sodaro called We Love Trash. That's it for me. How about you, Nicole?
I got a book called Very Fat, Very Brave. You could buy it. I got a list of black-owned bookstores in the bio. You could buy it from Burns and Neighbors. And yeah, when I start doing stand-up again, please come and please be understanding that like we haven't done stand-up in a long time and you're going to see some crusty jokes, maybe some bangers, but like for the most part, pretty mediocre. Don't get mad.
Yeah, you might tell the audience they have crusty assholes.
Yes.
And they have to laugh at that.
I just feel like we should start prepping people now to be like, you're not going to get like polished comedy.
That's all why I don't understand rusty. The people that are going to comedy yes. clubs right now. I'm like, yes. you're risking your life to go for see mediocrity. Someone do untested shit.
Yes. Like, so wild to me. But you know, hey, live your fucking life.
Yeah.
He died doing what he hated, watching bad stand up.
Wait, where's Rosie? Let's have Rosie say goodbye.
Okay, yes. Rosie, want to say bye bye? You say bye bye? Can you say bye bye?
Oh boy,
that was it.
Bye bye, Rosie.
She can't hear you. She guys can't hear you. Headphones in, but she did give you a bye.
She did.
Until well, next really time,
so cute. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.